for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Acts chapter 8, this story of Philip coming to meet with a man who was traveling down from Jerusalem back to his home in Ethiopia. So we'll begin reading at verse 26, please. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And we do believe God will write his truth upon every one of our minds and hearts this evening. I suppose, in keeping with the usual practice, if I were putting a title on this, I would call it, "Behold a Man of Ethiopia." And a very interesting character indeed is this man, this nameless one from Ethiopia. It is true that as we look at it, we often have used this portion of God's word to bring before you the truth of water baptism for the believer. Thinking of that verse and the profession of the Ethiopian eunuch here, "I believe." "If you believe," said Philip, "with all your heart, you may." And the eunuch replied, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." But first of all, a little look as we enter into this lovely and wonderful story, a little look at the directing of Philip. Now, Philip was one of the seven, the Bible tells us, from Acts chapter 6. One of the seven who was chosen to be as a, we would call it a deacon within the church in Jerusalem to disperse and to help with food supplies to the needy, etc. And then there came the persecution that arose around Stephen when he was arraigned before the Sanhedrin, when he scorched them with Holy Spirit and fired words, and when they stoned him to death, and there arose a great persecution, the Bible says, at that time. And Saul himself, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter, began to imprison. I think it's one of the old commentating bishops who tells us that when you look at the different little indicators and verses through the Bible and through Paul's witness, this persecution is something which grips you to the very heart and makes you realize the power of evil that was moving that man to stamp out and to destroy the church, the infant church of Jesus Christ. But the people who were persecuted and those who hadn't been arrested were scattered abroad everywhere, and they went everywhere trying to find homes where they could settle in and where they could be free. No, the Bible says they went everywhere preaching the word and declaring abroad the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus and the ministry that God had given him and the power of his death and resurrection. They went everywhere, and Philip was one of those who went down to the city, sort of nor-westerly from, or almost north from Jerusalem. And there God blessed his ministry, not only with many converts, but with signs following. It is there that we meet with Simon the sorcerer, who was silenced by Peter. And then Peter and John ministered among them, realizing that these people, though they had accepted Christ, though they had been baptized in water, yet had not received what they call the power of the Spirit coming upon them. And thus the two apostles, Peter and John, prayed for them, and they received that fullness of the Spirit. And then some believe that Philip was going back to Jerusalem with Peter and John. It matters little. But then there came a messenger to Philip. The Bible says it was an angel of the Lord who came to Philip and said, "Arise and go toward the south, and go toward the way that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza, and it's into desert places." Now, there are situations in the Bible that sometimes you read about where they, like Jeremiah, and then like others have said, almost seem to say to God, "Oh, now, Lord, let's reason this out. Let's figure this out. Are you sure you know what you're doing, sending?" Well, Philip might have said that from the midst of a revival, sent down to desert land. What for? But he obeyed God's word through the angel. And he started off down, and on that road, the Bible said he met a man of Ethiopia. A man of Ethiopia, a man of great authority. Now, this man, this eunuch of great authority, had come from Ethiopia up to Jerusalem to worship. It is not sure, but he was probably what is termed in Scripture a God-fearer. He had the Scriptures to hand. And it is known that some of the Jews who were very excellent personal witnessers took the promise, and they took the word in Isaiah chapter 43. By the way, it's the word that Jehovah's Witnesses seize upon for their title, Jehovah's Witnesses. God gave it to the nation of Israel. And many of them went out and tried to win some of the Gentiles to the Lord. And this man obviously came under the influence of some of these from Jerusalem, some of these enthusiastic purveyors of the word. You shall be witnesses unto me, saith the Lord, or saith Jehovah. And this man with the scriptures was making his way, or had made his way, up to Jerusalem, the Bible says, to worship. Let's just pause a moment and look at this man. He was a man of Ethiopia. He was a man of importance. He was a man, the Bible says, of great authority. A great man who had placings in the highest in the land of Ethiopia. Under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, this man had charge of all her treasures. So first of all, he was a man of importance. He was recognized, probably the highest man in the land, the chancellor of the exchequer, known by all in that land and probably by many others who would have visited the land. He was a man who had his hand not only upon the finances, but knew what was going on in the land and how Queen Candace's fortunes were being spent in buying and selling. Important in the eyes of Ethiopians, important in the eyes of others, and no doubt in Jerusalem there were those who would welcome him and honor him. And for all his importance, here is a man who is revealed to us as a man who is empty and who is searching. Importance. And many strive for that today, and many seek high places in the land and in the government and in other places. They seek to become people of importance whose word is listened to, and authorities seek their advice. And for all that man's importance, there was an emptiness there. There was a spirit that was seeking and hungering. And many today, if they were honest, if they would pause in their search after preeminence and importance, if they would pause for a moment, they would realize that deep down within their hearts, there is that which even the most important place in the land cannot fill. You remember way back in the days of Daniel when Nebuchadnezzar reached that place as described in the prophecy of Daniel. That prophecy which spoke of that time when he would lose all his faculties. And there came that time when in his pride of importance. Is this not great Babylon, which I have built for my out of my own power? I have done all this. And immediately God said, it has happened. And he was driven out, some believe, for 7 years, eating grass like oxen. The importance that suddenly frizzled away and vanished. And where is importance when we begin to consider it in the light of eternity? Maybe look into your heart today, and sometimes we like to be in that place of importance. But unless the heart is filled and has as the most important person within it, the Lord Jesus, it's an importance which means little. You find that in this man's life. You know, maybe there is written in here too the thought of loneliness. He was a eunuch. That meant he had no offspring of his own. And here is a man who maybe longed for that. And out of that longing still, he knew he needed God, for he needed the word of God. But you know, he's a man who had companionship. He had also relationship and company. Yet he was empty. I notice something else in these few words. He was a man not only of importance, but a man of intelligence. I mean, no man becomes Chancellor of the Exchequer. No man reaches that place of all importance, controlling it, having charge of all her treasure, unless he has something up top. And he was a man of such intelligence that he could control the finances of the nation. He could indeed listen to that one, listen to the other one, say to this one, do this, buy that, out of an intelligent mind. And yet, for all that intelligence, he was a man who was seeking God, and he knew there was an emptiness within. It is an old, I think he was a French philosopher who said, within the heart, Blaise Pascal is his name, within the heart there is a deep abyss that only God can fill. Oh, we may not reach the place of importance, intelligence like others. We may have a modicum of it, but oh, when it comes to it, there's an abyss deep down in the heart, and only God can fill that emptiness. I read a little excerpt that I had read after reading the life story of C.S. Lewis by Alistair McGrath, reckoned to be the best life story on him. And there is one place where he talks about that deep longing within the heart. And he said, what is longing? Longing, he said, is the scent of a flower that has not been found. It is the echo of a tune that has not been heard. In other words, there's nothing that man can explain or bring to the fore that's going to meet it. Where is it found? That deep abyss, as Pascal calls it, only God can meet it. And intelligence didn't meet that understanding within this man's heart. He was a man of integrity. He had charge of all her treasure. Here was a man who, pardon me, who could, with all his intelligence, have lined his own pockets. He could indeed have, if it had been modern days, he could have planted, like many of the leaders of some nations, have planted treasures that they had stolen and filched away from their land in other banks across the seas and borders. But this man, for all that, was a man of integrity. He had charge of all her treasure. And now he was permitted by Candace, no doubt, to make his way to Jerusalem. Perhaps she understood something of the deep longing that was within this man's mind and heart and life. For all his integrity and uprightness, he was a man who was searching to fill that deep abyss within his own heart and soul. You know, whatever we have in life, whatever integrity we have, be able to stand up and be searched by even the most searching of inquisitors. If we had these things, yet no man can discern the depth of longing, the depth of need that is within the human spirit and within the human soul. And because of that, we read now, he is a man of intention. A man of intention in his sincerity to get to know God. That comes out in this story of the Ethiopian eunuch, the man that Philip had been sent to meet. Philip didn't know it at the time, but he has been up to Jerusalem. What for? To worship. One of those God-fearers. One of those who had not submitted, no doubt, to the full integration into the Israeli nation. He wasn't a full conscript. And there are a number of things laid down by the Israeli hierarchy as to how they would allow him in. For men, there was circumcision, and then there was baptism in water, and there were other things. He was going up to Jerusalem to worship. He knew that the true God had revealed himself in the scriptures. He knew that God had spoken. I don't know whether he read Isaiah on the way up to Jerusalem, but he was certainly reading the book of Isaiah on his way down from Jerusalem. But he was going up to worship because there was an intention within him. I don't know what he took part in. He probably, no doubt, listened to much of the ceremony that was outside the court of the Gentiles. But he had heard the readings of the scriptures. They tell us when they look at Jesus in the midst of doctors and the leaders in Israel, hearing them and asking them questions, they say that they, at a certain time, that they would have come out to the people and have answered questions and made their intelligence and understanding of the scriptures available to those who were searching. Maybe this man had reached that too. But there were men who could have expounded the word and other ones, but they had not the key to the truth of the scriptures. And this man, I think it's a very sad and disappointing phrase. From his point of view, the Bible says he was returning. He had gone up. He had gone up with expectation. He had gone up hoping to fill that empty void within his mind and his heart. And now he was returning. And as I read this over and over and over again, you know, one thing also stands out. He was still reading the scriptures. Oh, sure, he had heard them read. He had heard expositions of them from some of the great leaders, like maybe Hillel or maybe Gamaliel, I don't know. But he would have been honored at Jerusalem as a visiting dignitary. But he had heard, he had seen, as far as a Gentile could, the worship of the Jewish people, but he was returning. How was he returning? He was returning that in spite of all he had come to Jerusalem to experience, he was still empty. That is found in his words when Philip drew near. And so here's Philip coming from Samaria maybe, or as some think, back at Jerusalem, no matter. He was coming according to the word of the Lord, to that place, and that little word, which is desert, Gaza, which is desert. It almost seems to me that it's in there to say, this is the state of this man's spirit. Dry and barren, surrounded by religion, having all the uprightness that was necessary for man to live with squared shoulders in the world today. Intelligent, integrity, importance. But he was returning. He was returning from the place for in which he had expected so much. Just pause for a moment. And although he's a Gentile, although he's man of Ethiopia and all this, he has the same empty abyss within his heart as maybe you have this evening. And you have not yet come to the realization of one who can fill it. We find that one presented to us in these words. As he traveled on his chariot, and as some believe, the chariot was probably drawn by oxen because it was slow enough to Philip to run and overtake. And as he journeyed, no doubt surrounded by retainers from Candace's court, he was reading from the book of Isaiah. Now, it was from the book of Isaiah that the people of Israel would have found scripture to convert a Gentile, to bring him to full recognition of Israel. But he was reading Isaiah. There are some who perhaps would have said, oh, you found that there's nothing there for all the commentaries and expositions you've heard. But he knew that the only answer was in the Word of God, was in the Scripture. And let's remind ourselves of this, that there are many searching different fields, different ways. In fact, I just switched on for the news this morning, and before it came on, there was a man speaking of a book he has written, copied from another one, The Age of Reason. And for 5 minutes, I listened to as he explained reason. And oh, how enlightened it was. And I was as dull as ever at the end of it. Age of reason, man's reason. And the age of reason probably would have afflicted this man as he came down. But there's something else. Not only as he read the scriptures, he realized that only the Word of God, only the truth of God's Word can meet the need of the human spirit. He realized also that in spite of the religion up there, they had failed to take the key and open the door of this wonderful book of God and give him the answer. Sure, they must have spoken about the Messiah that was coming. And perhaps that man was also influenced by what was in Jerusalem. Don't forget, this is toward the end of chapter 8. Before we start chapter 9, and Paul, in the intensity of his hatred to stamp out this false religion, was seeking letters of authority to Damascus. Chapter 9, it begins. But at this time, there's the tension in Jerusalem. We might term it as Saul's press gangs were arresting and committing to prison those who named the name of Jesus and the way and the answer. In Jerusalem, perhaps he heard too about one who had professed and they had crucified him through the imposition of their powers with Rome. I don't know whether he heard about it, but isn't it interesting that in the sovereignty of God, he was reading from that special portion in Isaiah 53 as Philip drew near. It was the angel who had spoken to Philip, and now it's the Spirit of God who comes to Philip, and he hears him. He hears him reading from Isaiah. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before her shearers. Philip heard him. That means he was reading the scriptures out loud. There is in the reading of the scriptures out loud, there is to me anyway, somehow a sense of this man like in his spirit crying out, is there anyone who can help me? For these words puzzle me. Philip draws near in the sovereignty of God, leaving the revival, leaving the wonders of what had happened, seeing the miracles that, and God has sent me here. And he hears a man reading the word. I tell you, isn't it lovely to think how God deems one soul important? And even as believers tonight, let's lay hold upon the great truth. You are important to God. Just as the Ethiopian eunuch was important, one man there in the desert, his soul a desert, and he was reading aloud, and in the reading aloud was silently crying, "Oh, help me, please help me." And Philip drew near. Do you understand what you read? "No, how can I except someone should guide me?" Philip didn't ask him if he had talked to some of the professors there from the Jerusalem Academy, the theological schools. He was invited up into the chariot. And as he sat there, how wonderful. Listen to these words. "Then Philip opened his mouth. And beginning at this scripture," what did he do? Theological background? No. He preached Jesus. He preached Jesus. And no matter where we turn, and no matter what intelligence agencies and ages of reason are across in our world, or conflicting thoughts which may be assailing you today, thank God there is one who is the key to everything. His name is Jesus. Remember, he could say there in John 5 to those Pharisees who were pressing and questioning him, he says, search the scriptures, as the authorized means. You search the scriptures. Day by day you read them. They are they which testify of me. And Jerusalem's temple, with all the abilities and the learning, had been unable because they had refused that one who had gone to them. And the very chapter that this man was reading from is that chapter which describes a people who had said before Pilate, "Away with him, crucify him. We will not of this man to reign over us," as Jesus puts it in a parable. He was given the wonderful truth of the one who is the key to all the scriptures and to whom all the scriptures witness, Jesus himself. Praise God, that's the one we preach. He is the answer to the deepest need of the human spirit and in our hearts tonight. To those who are believers, what a wonder to know the word, to teach them the word. Listen, you know, I remember preaching in a certain church, and children were sitting. My granddaughter, I think she was 9 at the time, and after the service, you know, I thought I'd done well. And she says, "Grandpa, there's something you said from that platform, da, da, da. What exactly does it mean?" And so I had to take time and open up to Emma what the scripture meant. And I felt a challenge at that time in two ways. First, try and make clear always everything you're saying from the platform. Make clear to people the word of God. The Bible says the preacher sought to find acceptable words. And oh, tonight, if I can make it as acceptable as possible, it's knowing Jesus Christ in a really wonderful way. But you know, there was something else I thank God for. Oh, sure, she was only 9, but she was listening. She was listening to the word of God. And though she didn't understand at all, she understood enough to pick out what she felt I was saying with a bit of cloud around her. And that pleased me. But she was listening to the word of God. And oh, that we could hear the word of God. I don't know whether any of you got the Direction, Elam's Direction magazine. It's comes every month to retired pastors anyway, and others receive it. But in it, there's an article by R.T. Kendall. And that article Kendall says, I have written this article, and it's one of the most important articles I have written for many months. And what was it? It was a cry from his heart that the people of God would lay their minds and hearts to reading and studying the Word of God. He said, you know, there are some important preachers in America who have never read the Bible from beginning to end. There are some, he said, would spend 10 minutes quick reading of the Word and then out to their social ideas. And his cry was that this old book would be read and read and read, and day after day. Listen, as believers, this word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway. The prophet Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And if, as believers, we are not feeding on the word of God, we are not getting fed, and we're lean and we're famished. This man was famished in his soul as he brought his life and all to God. And Philip opened the scriptures, because in the scriptures, Christ is preached. He preached Jesus to him, the key to scripture. And this is the answer to the deepest longing and abyss and emptiness of the soul, is to find Jesus in a very wonderful and personal way. He preached to him that which we find coming out in his confession. He must have preached identification by baptism, because in verse 36 he asks, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said to him, if you believe with all your heart, you may. What was he preaching? He was preaching Christ and him crucified. He was preaching here, and Philip probably went over the other verses in Isaiah 53 as well, where he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This is the message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, when, filled with the Holy Spirit, the crowds around, what meaneth this? He says it means this: Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by wonders and signs and miracles which God did by him in the midst of you. Even God is here. He said it to the lame man there, and he preached Christ crucified to the multitudes, and 3,000 came to Christ. Paul, coming to Corinth from out of that city of philosophy, even Athens could say, when I came to you, he said, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And to a lonely, empty Ethiopian black man, Philip brought the message, the same message: Jesus Christ, Son of God, sent by God, the Word, John would say it later, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. This, Philip would bring to him, was God's answer in the person of his only begotten Son, the one who would reach out not just simply to the Jewish nation, but to the world. Because as he says in John 12, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And Philip knew that experience with this Ethiopian eunuch. Christ crucified, drawing and sending out a message of love by the Spirit to the ends of the earth, that he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And this man realized that There was one step he had to take, which was an answer to all the emptiness that was within, and that was believing with all his heart. If you believe with all your heart, I know there's some who would leave this verse to another manuscript, but here is the truth of it contained in the whole context. If you believe with all your heart, if you are really earnest, if you're really sincere and you are really willing to commit your life to Christ, this is what Philip was bringing as he expounded the scripture, explained them to him. And he says, if you believe with all your heart. He has come from Samaria, where a man made a profession and then turned out to be a hypocrite. And he's saying now to this man, you believe with all your heart. Deep personal commitment to Jesus Christ. What better way is there to live? I believe. Jesus Christ. Notice Jesus Christ, the Messiah. I believe Jesus is the Messiah. He was saying, God's anointed, God's sent one, God's Savior, for each one who will believe with all the heart. And Philip, while he required all his heart, he had also preached water baptism being identified with him. What hinders me from being baptized? And they had come to some water. I'm not sure what river it was. There wasn't a river, not in my map. Anyway, as I looked it up, there's a little stream in one of the maps or atlases. But there could have been an oasis. And it was enough for that Ethiopian eunuch, high man in the courts of Candace, to say, I want to be identified with Jesus. I want my life to be identified with him. And he went down into the water with Philip and he was baptized. He came up and he asked Philip that, wonderful, I know, I'm saved. I don't know whether Philip went away as quickly as that, but the Spirit caught away Philip. And the Ethiopian eunuch got into his chariot. And he went on his way. He had been coming from Jerusalem, reading the scriptures with searching voice. He went on his way reading the scriptures with praising voice, rejoicing that he had met the Savior. We don't read, at least I don't know if there's any record in history about him, but wonderful truth is he went on his way rejoicing, and all that his heart had longed for he found as he had trusted Jesus Christ. And I wonder this evening, is there a heart? And you know, you need the Savior. If you believe with all your heart. The Amplified puts the believing as the word meaning this in the original. To take yourself out of your own keeping and trust yourself into his keeping. That's what Bible believing is. Not just I believe so. No, the Bible believing. Taking yourself out of your own keeping and committing yourself to his keeping, now for time, for eternity. And if there's one tonight, you have not yet committed yourself to Christ, why not commit yourself? Find forgiveness of sin, find pardon, and find the witness of God's Holy Spirit that gives you a joy and fills that abyss within, that emptiness, knowing that Christ alone can meet your need. Let's have a little word of prayer. Our Father, we just leave the truth of your word in the midst of your people. And Lord, believing that you apply it to maybe a heart within our service tonight. Oh, if there's one dear one, don't put it off. That day, he decided. Tonight, you can decide by yielding your heart and life to Jesus. Please indicate to us the end of the service. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
And your love is great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.